From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, January 26, 2018. And on this day, the Secretary of State has petitions for a new initiative to expand home care funding in Maine. And we'll look at how Shipyard Beer is finding its way to the UK. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And by Lee Auto Malls, four generations serving Mainers since 1936, 19 Maine locations, and at leeauto.com.
A group backed by the progressive group Maine People's Alliance has filed petitions with the Maine Secretary of State. It's looking to force the legislature to consider a major expansion of home-based care services for seniors and people with disabilities. Mary Lyons of Boothbay Harbor circulated petitions for the effort.
Too many people with disabilities can't get the care they need. Home care for all will fix that. It's a guarantee that if you need help staying in your home, you can get it.
The proposal would fund the expansion of care services with a new payroll tax on those who make more than $127,000 a year. At a press conference today, MPA political director Ben Chin said it's about closing loopholes.
Most voters know there's a bunch of loopholes that are out there that allow the wealthy to not pay their fair share of taxes. And so the payroll tax code, it's just the same as the income tax code. And it's just about closing those to make sure seniors and people with disabilities have the care they need.
That tax would generate about $130 million a year for new services and pay increases for providers. The proposal drew immediate opposition from business groups like the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which claims it would hurt economic growth. Whether it's lobsters bound for Beijing, shipyard beer being sold in Sheffield, England, or tongue depressors turning up in Thailand, Maine products are making inroads in world markets. And for some entrepreneurs, there can be a big payoff. Tonight, we begin a new series we're calling It Can Get There From Here. And in part one, Jennifer Mitchell visits the Shipyard Brewery in Portland, where she finds out that international beer success is driven largely by relationships.
Shipyard founder Fred Forsley is busy canning a beer that isn't even his.
So this one is the Island Summer Ale, which is a, you know, kind of a light, refreshing, light pale ale.
As the hissing machine spits ale into cans and seals them up, Forsley explains that Shipyard produces this beer for another craft brewery in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
So they come up and do the recipes with us, and we'll brew it and ship it down.
It's just one of several relationships the company has with other beer makers. While it may seem counterintuitive to cozy up with your competitors, doing so is the reason Shipyard is sold in some 900 pubs across the UK. So how did he do it? Well, back in 1990, Forsley was slaving away over a desk thinking about planning the next 25 years of his life.
My plan has I've never had a plan, which is scary to say as an entrepreneur.
Okay, so no plan.
Why beer?
Well, I've always loved beer. That's always a good thing.
In short, Forsley kind of blundered into the beer business. He'd been working as a real estate agent and found himself with a high-value Southern Maine property in need of a tenant. He'd already put a lot of work into the place when a couple of deals fell through.
I got another tenant who was interested. I got it funded, and at the last minute, they decided they didn't want to do it. So next thing you know, as a real estate guy, I was running a brewery brew pub.
That would be Federal Jack's in Kennebunkport, where his first pints were produced in 1992. But Forsley had some help from other brewers as well, like Gary's and Gritty's, who introduced him to a giant in the world of beer, Alan Pugsley. Pugsley has been called the Johnny Appleseed of craft brewing, and he's known worldwide.
Long story short, Alan became a partner.
And the Shipyard Brewery was born. Pugsley brought with him not just the beer know-how, but a relationship with the Ringwood Brewery in England. After moving to a bigger location in Portland, Shipyard started brewing some of Ringwood's beer, much in the way that Shipyard brews the Island Summer Ale for St. John Brewers in the Virgin Islands.
We were brewing Old Thumper under collaboration here, and they asked us to do Shipyard over there.
While Shipyard had been cultivating its relationship with Ringwood for several years, in 2007, Ringwood was bought by the big biggest cask ale maker in the world, Marston's, headquartered in Wolverhampton, England. Suddenly, Shipyard's fledgling foray into the UK seemed a little uncertain. Would the new boss even want to work with them?
The group from Marston's visited Portland probably 30 different individuals from the company over a three-year period before they said, you know what, we want to work with you in the UK in a bigger, expanded way. And then when I went over at least five or six times. So it took a lot of energy to trust each other.
But trust each other they did. And 5 years after launch, Shipyard is now, according to a Manchester data agency, the best-selling brand of kegged craft beer in the UK.
It's easy drinking. It's fruity. It's got a sort of citrusy hop flavor. A lot of people get sort of gooseberry and pine aromas from it.
That's Marston's sales and marketing manager for craft beer, Sam Coles, speaking from Ozzle Twizzle, England. He's describing Shipyard's flagship product in the UK, the American Pale Ale. He says all those visits back and forth across the pond helped to strengthen the two companies' relationship, a process that will continue as Marston's really capitalizes on Shipyard's location.
One of the biggest beer trends happening in the UK at the moment is New England IPAs. Which are sort of really hazy, thick IPAs. It used to all be about West Coast IPAs. You know, that used to be the style we were looking at. You know, it was all LA. It was all, you know, much more West Coast. But there's a real push over to New England styles at the moment, which is getting people looking at what New England and Maine in particular is about a bit more.
With that in mind, Marston's plans to lead a group of visitors from the UK to Portland later this year to visit the original birthplace of Shipyard. And their international marketing strategies appear to be paying off. Cole says sales of the American Pale Ale have grown 30% year over year in the UK, 50% for the IPA. So far, the UK is the only overseas market Shipyard's Fred Forsley has actively tried to tap, mostly because of the time and resources it takes to develop the necessary relationships. But that doesn't mean there isn't more to come.
You know, we're interested in Asia, not sure exactly how to do it.
But Forsley, the man without a plan, is thinking locally as a way to go more global.
The world's gotten so small. If you go to Boston, you go to some of these college campuses and you know, you have a strong Asian population from whatever part of Asia, you know, and they're huge beer drinkers, and they're interested in American brands. So it's doable, but we have to figure it out at some point.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.
And this is Maine Things Considered. As the Winter Olympics approach in February, athletes are being named to final rosters, including four from Maine. But some are still waiting to hear if they'll be chosen for the games that come after that. The Paralympics feature athletes with impairments, and Ruslan Reiter of Manchester, Maine, is hoping to earn a spot on the Nordic ski team. At 18 years old, he'd be among the youngest athletes to compete. Patty White has his story.
Ruslan Reiter started to Nordic ski for two reasons. First, he hated basketball.
It was about sixth grade year or so, and I didn't like the sport at all. I just wasn't good at it, and I wanted to quit, so I quit.
And second, because his mom issued a directive.
She's like, well, if you're going to quit, you're going to have to do some kind of winter sport. So that's basically where it all started.
Ryder picked Nordic skiing because he had a friend on the team who encouraged him to try it. He says it was even more challenging than basketball.
So you're using your whole body, and I've only got one hand, so I can only use one pole, which made it even more harder.
Ryder was born without a right hand. He was also born in Russia. He was adopted after his mom, Annie Ryder, traveled to a children's home to adopt a daughter, Tonya.
And every day when I was there, there was a little boy who, across the room, would smile at me and wave at me, come over and show me his toys. He engaged me every time I was there to see Tonya. And during that process, it became apparent that, he was destined to be one of our children as well.
Her son's limb difference, Annie says, has never stopped him from doing what he wanted to do, including Nordic skiing. He developed his own technique, pushing a single pole between his legs to propel forward. Using just one pole instead of two is a big deal in Nordic skiing, says his former Marinacook Community High School coach, Steve DeAngelis.
It's a giant deal, especially the way cross-country skiing is developed nowadays. It's much more, the techniques, both classic skiing and skate skiing, have developed much more to become much more upper body focused.
When Ryder joined the high school team, DeAngelis remembers him as a shy kid who wasn't a great skier, but he watched him grow to become team captain and a top competitor. It was junior year when he really took off. DeAngelis remembers one race in particular.
They had this double pole start, which of course for Ruslan is a single pole start, and he beat everybody out at the double pole start. And the kids in the next line waiting to start after him were like, "Did you see that? How does he do that?"
By this point, coaches with the U.S. Paralympic team were watching. One day, Ryder says, Coach DeAngelis showed him an email he received. It was an invitation for Ryder to attend a training camp.
You know, it's like the eyes wide open, the jaw drops, and the kind of moment for me, I guess. And I just couldn't believe it.
At the training camp, Ryder changed his technique and got faster by pushing his single pole on his left side and swinging his right arm for momentum. Senior year, his team made it to states. One of the top skiers got sick, so Coach DeAngelis pulled Ryder aside and told him someone needed to step up if the team was going to have a shot at winning.
And Ruslan said, I can do it. And he definitely is a kid who is fired up by helping other people and his teammates. And the fact that he had that extra motivation, he was awesome. So he skis in the state meet. That's all the good, best skiers. With one arm, gets over and finished 11th. It was awesome. It was unbelievable.
The team won the state championship. Ryder also competed in two World Cups his senior year. Last summer, he was named to the Paralympic Development Team. He's currently in Fort Kent as he spends a gap year to focus on training. Seth Hubbard is his coach.
DL's going to be 6x4 minutes at race effort.
The Paralympic program has not named the Nordic team yet for the games in March, but Hubbard says Ryder hit the required benchmarks at the most recent World Cup in Canada, and he thinks he has a shot.
Still waiting on the final decision, but keep our fingers crossed. We're optimistic.
Until then, Ryder trains hard, up to 4 hours nearly every day. If he makes it, Ryder will be competing against adults who've been training for the Paralympics for years. But at only 18, Ryder says he has plenty of opportunity to join their ranks. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, January 26, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.